This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There she goes, running circles, don't know where to go. Telling herself that everything's gonna be okay. Sitting there confused, don't know what to do with you. There she goes.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. I have with me two young people, young singer, writers, musicians, one of whom broke into the scene not too long ago and is in the process of earning her stripes. The other is an Australian who's a little more seasoned. They are Talitha Tan and Gabriel Lynch, who will be playing at No Black Tie off Jalan Nagasari. We'll start with you, Talitha. Our music scene in Malaysia seems to be growing, and there are lots of new faces that come on the scene. Where did you appear from?
I started posting videos on YouTube. And then Christian Palencia introduced me to my first ever open mic at the Bijaya one. I guess from then on, I knew I liked performing.
How long ago was this?
This was about 3 years ago, I think. About 3 years ago.
And now how busy are you as a musician?
It's not every day I get a performance. It depends on whether I get clients. On and off, there are times where I get a lot of performances and there are times where I don't.
Are the performances mostly in clubs and pubs or in No Black Tie and Alexis, or you have gigs with weddings?
I wouldn't say I'm a pub or club singer. I'm more of a performer. I don't know how to explain the difference. I think Gabriel understands, right?
You're not in the background at a pub, are you? You're not sitting there playing covers to people who are barely paying attention.
Yeah, so. I don't do that many covers. I do covers, but probably songs that people don't know and don't appreciate. So I wouldn't do a pub.
How is a pub therefore different from, let's say, No Black Tie? I mean, people are still eating and drinking.
Well, I guess the main thing is the pretense with which people go to those sorts of venues. So No Black Tie and a couple of others around town are very special in the fact that people go there with the preconceived notion that they are going to be watching a concert. And I think that's probably the key difference. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I've done plenty of concerts in a pub setting, but a little bit is determined by whether or not people are there for you or if they're there for the ambience of having a drink and a meal and having some music in the background, you know? And that changes it, right? It changes the way that you play.
So where are the performance spaces besides Alexis, No Black Tie? That's a new space that I'm aware of. It's called Theatre Lounge Cafe. I don't know if you guys are aware of that.
I think it's located somewhere in Hartamas. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. But they're more into...
Bobo is another space.
Yeah, yeah. They're more classic. I don't know. I've never been asked to perform there.
2 years ago, you started posting on YouTube and then somebody contacted you and that's how you got your break.
Sort of, yeah.
So simple.
I worked very hard. I pushed out my music. I made sure that people noticed me. Eventually,
the recordings that you did for YouTube, were they all done at a studio or did you do it at home?
just a video camera at home.
And the quality is
enough? It's pretty all right, yeah. But I haven't been posting. It's been a while since I posted. I recently released a song called Okay, produced by Darren Ashley. It's on Spotify, so if you want to listen, you can just search out my name, Talitha Tan. And I did a collaboration with Ali Ayman. It's called Cover You, also on Spotify.
Now, Gabriel, this is your first time here on BFM.
Mm-hmm.
Talitha was on TTON That Time of Night. You've not been on that show.
No. Look, I haven't been. I haven't been on radio in Malaysia since I first visited here about 5 years ago when I first came touring through the region. So it's gone.
Are you
away.
Just visiting?
No, I am actually this time around. I'm staying. So what kind of followed on from years and years of repeating this cycle, where I would work a terrible job for 3 months, save up money, record a little album, then tour that with whatever money I had left, and just live on whatever tips I got at the gigs or whatever. I ended up spending the last 3.5 years living in Southeast Asia, but starting with Bangkok, where I was playing in the background at lots of really divey venues and bars around town, not really being the center of attention, but nevertheless practicing, refining the skills a little bit more. And then finally, last year, I was offered a chance to come and work here for a little audio house called Maverick Studio. And I now have a job in between performing, which is to write music for film and television for commercial purposes and all kinds of other things. Which
and
is
that came about on account that you were over in Malaysia and creating a network?
Well, yeah. The first time I came to Malaysia, I was put onto a concert bill with an artist named Froya, who is now one of my colleagues. But in the last 12 months before I left Bangkok, so we're talking about 2014, I'd been in contact with the same studio because I wanted to record a new album. And following on from that recording, when we decided to release it, I thought that it might be nice to base myself over here. And as you said, the music scene seemed to be growing. It seemed to be full of a lot of very, very exciting, young and fresh talents. And I just thought that was where I wanted to be, and particularly for original music, which is still a growing industry among independent artists in this region. It just seemed that Malaysia was one of the places to be. So that was what pulled me over here, and I've been here for about 12 months now.
What brought you over here the first time?
First time? Because I'm from Australia, and I had toured a bit in Australia. The problem with Australia is it's quite a ginormous block of land with not many major cities, you know, for every...
It's all around the coast.
It's, yeah, exactly. It takes a long time to tour, and it's quite costly to do it. But the other thing is, I guess, as I was quite young, and I felt that I'd performed pretty much all the venues I could possibly play at, and I was looking for a new challenge, and I decided I wanted to tour. And as a bit of an experiment, I just picked a point on a globe. I said, I'm just more or less going to spin my little atlas and I'll let my finger land wherever. It actually landed on Singapore. I had one email, one contact for a venue over there. And I thought, I wonder if I can book just off my own back with no help whatsoever. I wonder if I could just book 5 or 6 shows. Could I spend a week in Singapore? Could I earn enough money playing those shows to cover my flights and my accommodation? Can I actually do that? Could I make enough money to get by and just come back, you know, survive? And consequent to that, I met people from Malaysia, the Philippines, and all kinds of places. And then the next time I thought, well, I wonder if I could do the same thing, but this time I'll go to some of the countries nearby. I'll go to Malaysia. I will pop over to the Philippines. That's further away, but maybe I could do the same thing. This time I'll do 10 days. I'll do 15 days. And then eventually that process turned into more like a month or 3 months and so on and so forth. But more or less, that was where my first contact with Malaysia came from. It started with single email contact for a show in Singapore.
That 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
Talitha, 2 years ago. How hard is this life? Or how easy is this life?
I wouldn't say anything is easy. Whatever you do, there are definitely obstacles. I don't know. I guess it's a lot better now compared to before. Before, it was a lot harder to get support. People didn't know of the music scene at all. And now people are more aware. You see radio stations or just anywhere in general, like, they're looking for more local music, which is great. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing's easy. But, I mean, if you work hard for something, you kind of get it.
But the kind of songs that you folks sing, we don't normally hear it on the radio, though.
I think you probably do, but yeah. It's just the shape, the way that it takes shape. I mean, what you're hearing, and this is what's so special about this show that Talitha and I are doing, she gives somebody like us a basic tool, a guitar and the ability to sing some notes for you. You've got a song. But I guess what become quite trendy and what is more common these days is very highly produced music with a lot of electronic and synthesized elements. Now, it's cool. I love it, and I live for this sort of stuff. But the simple truth is it's not what dominates the airwaves these days. Acoustic music, I should say, is not what dominates the airwaves. It is this brand of very produced studio music. But it's an amazing thing to say it because I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of those great hits that you hear very well may have started with somebody with either a piano or a guitar in front of them, just strumming a few chords or singing a couple of notes, and that's where it ended up. And in fact, the same is true of, I think, even Talitha and my own music when we do get into the studio. The way that OK came out from your session with Darren Ashley, for example, is very different to what we just heard with the acoustic rendition. And likewise, when I go into a studio, it will always take a different life. But that's what's so exciting about acoustic music for me is so often that's where it starts. That's the very beginning point, you know.
So it's in the raw form.
The raw form, yes.
Closer to the emotions?
Maybe.
Intimate.
I feel very exposed when I play on my own. Like, it's easy because when you play with a band or, again, if you are working in a studio and you've got the ability to embellish your existing sounds, and I guess you don't feel as alone, you don't feel as isolated, you don't feel as exposed, right?
Yeah.
So when it's just you and a guitar, I mean, let's just put it this way. If something goes wrong, you've got no one else you can blame on the stage. You can't turn to the drummer and say, hey, you missed a beat, you know.
You have performed as a solo act. So when you're talking about being exposed and vulnerable, do you really feel it on stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on the venue as well and the people in the crowd. I mean, if it's a small venue packed with people or probably even like a couple of just people. I mean, if they're there listening to you and you're technically you're like pouring your heart out, telling a story, you do feel it. Like, I don't know. I'm very bad at explaining. I'm sorry.
It's like the worst and the best thing that can happen to you is when you're singing a song just to you. And maybe it is a really personal, maybe a really heart-wrenching experience for you to be sharing this. And then you look into the audience and there's someone who's really listening.
Yeah.
It's like, this is fantastic. Thank you so much for giving me your attention and listening. But how dare you listen so closely? This is very personal. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But you want it.
You want it, but you don't, right? Want it. Yeah, exactly. It's yeah. It's funny, though. But it is. It's true. I find that I feel that a great deal more when it is just me alone on the stage. I really do. And that's hard. I mean, I wouldn't want to wish that upon anybody every night of the week.
I like it, but if I was a little bit better at the guitar, then I would be perfectly fine playing solo whenever. But
isn't that what live performance is all about, though? In a sense, putting yourself on the line and being vulnerable.
I think so. Well, I mean, I think that's the whole. I think that's what musicality, musicianship is all about. And I think you can do that whether you're performing, whether you're writing, whether you're creating in your bedroom or on a stage in front of, you know, 1,000 people. It all is incredibly exposed if it's done authentically. And there are, I think, arguably a lot of people that aren't worried about producing something that's authentic, that's a real reflection of themselves. But I think for Talita and I, it all generally comes from a very honest and sincere place.
Yeah.
Gabriel Lynch and Talitha Tan, two young singers who will be playing naked. By that I mean they won't have a band with them. Each will be, for the most part, singing solo self-accompanied on an acoustic guitar. Coming up, what kind of songs do these singers write? How would they describe their music? What is the process of their composing? From the head, from the heart, after a breakup? This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Little one, joyful pictures fill your mind. Little one, sleep tight. It's time to leave this day behind. May you dream of what may be.
Listening to Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng speaking with Talitha Tan and Gabriel Lynch, two singers who will be performing their own compositions. This performance will be at No Black Tie on the coming Wednesday. How would you describe your music? Are they ballads or are they, you know, what genre would they fall into? When I was listening to you earlier, names like Leonard Cohen.
Oh, wow.
Rufus Wainwright. And when Talitha started singing, Tracy Chapman, I can even hear that kind of. How would you describe your sounds?
I don't know.
You just sing.
I don't know. I mean, I started off acoustic, but the direction I kind of want to go to is a little bit electronic acoustic.
She's saying it with some apology in her voice.
No, she doesn't need to be apologetic about that. I mean, like, I think moving with the times, contemporizing the sound.
I'm not sure. I'm still kind of finding my sound. Indie. I don't know. A mixture.
Listening to the latest stuff, and I mean, I feel the same way about myself. I mean, certainly as far as the direction we want to take it, where we want to go with it, It's funny you mention like Leonard Cohen, Rufus Wainwright, Tracy Chapman. I mean, these are classic. They're all, even though Rufus, for example, is not a particularly old vintage, but they all come from that school of quite traditional songwriting. That's basically where everything starts again. It's, you know, it's the core of everything that we do as musicians is the song. And people like that, for me, I also think about people like Ben Folds. He's a huge influence on me. People that basically just start with a simple story and a melody, or you know, whatever it may be. But I think that for us is, yeah, songwriters, songsmiths, those are the guys that seem to influence. Well, they certainly influence me, and I hear it in Toledo's music a lot as well.
Who are your influences? You mentioned you do listen to Leonard Cohen, Rufus Wainwright.
Well, yeah, from a classic point of view, I mean, like I said, I mean, these are guys who just basically have their instrument and can tear a song out of it. I'm also very much influenced by experimental bands. I mean, when I was younger, growing up, Radiohead were one of my all-time favourites. Because I think what you see and what you hear with them is a traditional approach to songwriting that's dressed in fancy clothes. There are peculiar sounds. They create bizarre artistic soundscapes that encompass what is at the heart of it, still a beautiful song.
And that can be done only in a studio.
Well, it can be done on a stage if you have
with
the correct
right
facilities and yeah, and the funds for a 10-piece band. No, but you know what I mean. That's what we're talking about there, I think, is aesthetic. It's what it sounds like rather than what it is. Great songs are at the core of almost everything I listen to. So bands like Radiohead, Eels.
I need some sleep. It can't go on like this. I tried counting sheep.
Elbow. But they dress them differently. Some simply, sometimes in more complicated ways. Sometimes, yeah, electronically, sometimes with distortion. I love hard rock as well, I got to be honest with you.
I don't know if folks like Leonard Cohen ever took a voice lesson.
I sincerely doubt he did. I love the man to tears, but I wouldn't be asking him for vocal coaching.
Do you guys?
No.
You really? Oh, wow. I thought this girl sounds like she's got it down, man. I'm still practicing.
I think every vocal teacher would teach you how to sing like a power vocalist. I don't know. I don't have that voice.
Like the powerful Aretha Franklin melismatic thing.
Nope.
The melismatic thing. It's kind of the idol / the voice type thing. You know, it's like a competition to see who can either sing the most notes in the smallest quantity of time or the highest note the loudest for the longest. I hear you. I was trained classically when I was a kid. I was in choirs. That's how I learned kind of how to sing. It's a little bit different, though. I don't think at a rock concert you ever see anybody in the audience looking at the singer with the guitar saying, well, it's very good, but his posture is terrible. He's not singing from his diaphragm, you know?
Yeah.
You worry about that yourself when you're singing? Am I sitting right? Am I breathing right? And all that?
I should worry more, I suppose. I guess it's a different thing, though, isn't it? When you're part of a choral group singing work from Benjamin Britten, you're more concerned about the technique and sounding consistent with the other singers. When you're there with the guitar singing your own little masterpiece about your recent heartbreak or that girl that you shagged last week, it's a bit different, right? You're thinking about different things, I guess.
What's the process? Everybody has a way of doing their own thing. Is writing something you stay up late at night to do, or you just have this pad beside your bed and when something strikes you, go to?
The song that I sang, it's called Sigh. It's actually a breakup song, typical. But I actually wrote the chorus when I was in the relationship. It says, take my hand, darling, I won't let you go.
There was no breakup there, was there? There was a breakup?
There was a breakup.
Oh. So writing from your own experiences.
Yeah, I can only write from experiences so far. In the relationship, technically it was a promise kind of thing. Take my hand, I won't let you go. And then he broke up with me.
How dare he? Who is this guy? I'll find him.
Then, I don't know, one day I just decided to pick up my guitar and sing that chorus. I cried my eyes out. But man, somehow everything just fell into place. Now it became more of a okay, you broke that promise kind of song. Like, it starts off, you were everything to me, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. It just...
And the melody?
Melody?
It just came by itself?
Yeah, sort of.
That's interesting, isn't it? Did you start with the lyrics or what do you...
I started off with... the melody came somehow and then the lyrics... I can only write when I have a chord progression that I think I like. It has to be something interesting unless, like, I can't. Like, I have no inspiration to write if I don't get a chord progression that I like.
Interesting. Like, it would say, like, the chord progression and the melody are kind of like the conveyor belt for your ideas. So they're coming past and it's like, oh, there it is. My emotions are ready and on board I jump. I feel the same way, actually. I start much the same way. A lot of the time, maybe it might not be a chord progression. It might be a groove. It might be a rhythm that I don't know. And I guess I don't know about you, but it sort of feels like that often connects me to an emotion or something, or maybe it feels relevant to an experience I'm having or have had recently, or that for some reason is brought up through some weird wave of nostalgia. But it's funny, isn't it? Because I forced myself to do some writing. I did this exercise to raise money for my last record where I said to people if they donated money, I'd write them a song and they could choose it to be about anything they wanted, right? Which was an amazing challenge because I had to write so many songs for girls about their boyfriends. It was crazy, you know, so many, oh, Jason. It was weird, but the thing is it put me right outside of my comfort zone. It became almost like a practice, like an exercise, like doing your scales or whatnot, but with songs, but then trying to create something that still felt sincere and authentic. So finding an avenue in. I don't really know what it's like to be broken up by... you know, by like the head of the football team. I haven't experienced that. So I had to find another avenue in, right? And so that was an interesting thing. But then I guess it generally starts with the same things, trying to find something personal, trying to find a way to convey that, you know, to express it with a chord progression, with a melody, with a rhythm first. And then I guess, putting those final touches on.
How do you prevent your songs from going to that direction, where somebody says, you know, I like it, but then it got sentimental. Do you have a definition for sentimental?
I guess when something becomes cheesy, right? I don't know what the fine line is, but I've always tended to think it probably comes more from a place of trying to avoid cliches. When you hear people singing phrases, for me, I hate to admit this, but I often turn off when I hear the word love in a song. You know, that's a word that conveys so much and is so powerful and all-encompassing. So for me, I get very excited when somebody manages to convey something that powerful and that all-encompassing in a different way. For me, I think it's just avoiding what's been said before and in the same way, and basically trying your hardest not to sound like Air Supply. I'm just saying.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? How do you avoid being cheesy? What's the key to not being cheesy?
I don't know. I think my songs are pretty cheesy. I don't know.
maybe it's the way you deliver it, because it doesn't sound cheesy, right? Okay. Maybe you think it is, but it's because it's delivered sincerely. The 80s was terribly cheesy because everyone was delivering everything with ginormous hair and glitter. So, I mean, it was a hard time for sincerity. I don't know. These days, people seem to be drawn towards people who sound like they're sharing a very honest experience, right? So I suppose whether it is cheesy, and maybe I was wrong to use such broad generalizations as cliches, but if the cliche is being delivered with
sincerity,
way,
exactly. That is no longer cliche.
Sincerity.
I mean, I guess when people can relate to it, then it's not exactly that cheesy to them. I mean, if they like it, it's not cheesy.
But the thing about cliches is that they are so overused, though.
They are. Well, I mean, I guess that's the thing, too. We would feel that as songwriters. I would imagine Talita would be with me on this. We would probably feel a little self-conscious if we discovered that we'd just written a whole song with phrases like, oh, I'm lost without you. How could you hurt me, baby? We'd probably feel...
Don't go.
We were lacking a little originality, right? So I guess it's as much as the artistic endeavor to stay fresh and new and to be touching upon things in a way that hasn't been done before as well. But then at the same time accepting that we are also sharing the human experience. And therefore, much though we may like to be the pioneers of it, neither of us are probably going to be the first person on the planet to write a love song. And we won't be the last either. So that's kind of a humbling thing.
As somebody who's interested in lyrics, I pay attention when people sing, especially when they're singing original compositions. I'm very wary of hearing cliches, you know. baby, baby, I miss you. So what I look for are the watch, in a sense, the fresh metaphors, the new images they are creating, something that it's compared to, love is compared to something that I'm not aware of, like maybe a cup of coffee, you know, that you have every morning. That's what, as a listener, I look for. That's something that belongs to the composer and not to just all of us.
Yeah, well, often it's not what we're saying as much as how we're saying it, right? That's what makes it unique. Otherwise, yeah.
So, going to this concert, how many songs that you'll be singing are original compositions? Any covers?
I'll be doing 4 originals because I only have 4 originals.
All right, you got to start somewhere, though, right? Building a massive library.
Yeah, and then probably about 2 covers. Yeah, that's one set, and then I should be doing a song with Gabriel. Yeah. I'll be collaborating.
The plan of attack, because Salida's still growing her library of original music. So we're doing, on the evening, we're doing a set of music each. We're going to be focusing on originals, so we'll be hearing all of Talita's originals and some of mine.
How many are you singing of yours?
Well, look, I can't recall exactly how many, but I think the idea is we play for about 45 minutes each, or thereabouts, 40 minutes each. But then what we're going to do that's going to be quite nice on the night is we're going to finish with a little collaboration, which will involve playing a few songs as a duet. I suspect what that will involve. Now, we haven't planned this. We haven't rehearsed it yet. So this is news to Talita. But I think what I was going to propose, if it's all right with you, Talita, was we might do a couple of covers. So songs, mate, we might choose one each that really resonates with us, you know, and something we can do something fresh with. And that will, you know, we'll work our voices
together.
Will
it be something by you or something by her? Or is it a cover that you're going to choose?
I think we'll do a couple of covers. But then I have got one song that I think Talita would sing especially beautifully on. So I'm going to actually encourage her to join me. That's one of my own originals. But it's a little bit scandalous because it is a song about an affair. It has to be very seductive. It's called Language of the Affair.
Language of the Affair. So guys, you heard it first on BFM. They're going to sing that song as a duet.
As a duet, I think. Well, let's see. Certainly we will be working together on the night. So it's going to be very, very cool.
And this is going to happen on?
It's the 20th of April at No Black Ties.
Come, please.
So Talita Tan and myself will be performing in a solo capacity, just us and our guitars, and then winding up the night with a few tunes together just to make it something a little bit special.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Cheers.
Talita Tan from KL and Gabriel Lynch from Australia will be singing their original compositions naked. That is, no band to back them up. They'll be self-accompanied on the acoustic guitar at No Black Tie on Wednesday, April 20th at 9 p.m. The cover charge is 30 ringgit. This is Front Row and the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
I've been told many things before, and many lies as well. I've been taken for the fool I am. You've still taken me. I can't hold you close enough, it seems. The life stands still. I will stay for longer than I should, my dear, just to watch you sleep. And I will tell you just so you know that I will. Catch me now and then. lights up and I'm lost again. It's every love for 30,000 years, my love. I'd still beg for. Collapses on its own. I still won't let you go. No, I won't let you go. No, I won't.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.